Since I started training for the readership some time ago, this is the first time I have been set loose. There is no Karen to shadow me, and there is no Ricky to control me. In the service of morning prayer, we have a whirlwind of great life-giving words. Words from the liturgy, words from our hymns, words from the Word of God. Virtually all the words are of heavenly and supernatural origin and intent. These divinely uttered words are being spoken into our spirits. Seed words, simultaneously familiar, yet cloaking layers of resonances, meaning, and potential growth for us. Words with echoes, reminding our spirits that our citizenship is elsewhere. Though we are designed to be salt and light to this world while we are in it. Words that raise up our heads, eyes, and spirits so that each and every one of us, by the burning whispers of the Holy Spirit, begin to illuminate light in this orphaned planet. We deal in words that can give life and death. Words which can create and build up or destroy and tear down. Words that kindle or extinguish hope in an unbelieving yet needy world. Our words as Christ followers are to be salt, bringing seasoning and flavoring to a world where the blandness of political correctness pressurizes us to compromise, dilute, edit, or totally avoid sharing the relentless call and irresistible graciousness of a very politically incorrect Jesus Savior. We have the words of the Spirit of Christ that put us at enmity with the non-words and moral bankruptcy spawned by the spirit of this age. As followers of Jesus, we abide in and confront a world determinedly pursuing a wholly humanistic, hedonistic agenda, where man, not God, is the center of the universe, where God is created in the image of man, and where mankind has its origins in a primordial slime, not in the glorious image and nature of God. A world where flawed reason reigns supreme, and only that which is perceived by science and sense is considered true, noteworthy, and credited with credence. As the supernatural world cannot be weighed and measured, even if it exists, it is of no consequence to this world. Within the arrogance of this domain, there is no place for the God who created the possible, who revels in the impossible. A God for whom what is natural is naturally supernatural. For our Father is the God of the ultimate and original creative word. In Genesis, we witness the power of the creative word. Let there be light. And there was light. We worship a God by whose word all that is. As God recorded through John, all things were made and came into existence through him. And without him was not even one thing made that has come into being. During his life on earth, Jesus uttered many a creative word, healing sickness to its roots, delivering the afflicted souls from their demonic tormentors, and infusing life into the dead. In actual fact, the thought struck me that Jesus ruined every funeral he went to. Think about it. Jesus ruined every funeral he went to. Oh, you have such blank expressions. You remind me of my English class on Shakespeare on Monday mornings. Fine. Jesus taught and demonstrated to us that his words were spirit, power, and life, able to separate with laser-like precision the marrow and the bone, the soul and the spirit, infusing our God-shaped emptiness with new birth life. Since the Ascension, and especially Pentecost, the utterings of the Father's creative word continues, though now through a new medium, us, you and I. God's creative word continues through us. God's co-laborers, indwelt by the Holy Spirit, the very same divine and creative spirit that brooded over the chaos moments before all that is was breathed into and held in existence. The spirit of resurrection power through faith in Christ indwells our spirit, equipping us to undertake great exploits. Ability is of little consequence, but our willingness is. For what Jesus demands, Jesus supplies. What grace conceives, grace births. Christ gave us authority on his Ascension Day to proclaim the gospel, baptize believers, cast out demons, speak in new tongues, lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Pentecost gave us the power. Ascension gave us the authority. Pentecost gave us the power to perform and accomplish these great exploits. That church history is a history of hit and miss is due in no small part to our regularly losing sight of that Pentecostal power or dynamite. That power is what saves us from spiritual mediocrity and the barrenness of religious mindsets. Failure to believe God's word of promise has emasculated many of us as Christians, leaving us looking like the withered dried bones in Ezekiel. The word of God is mighty and invested with power to transform all who accept and yield to it. Isaiah records that God's word, when sent out, accomplishes its purpose and does not return void. For a word is not merely sound, it is an entity, a force, a power, for good or ill, for blessing or curse, relentlessly seeking to manifest itself in time and space. That's why we must be careful of our mouths. Utter the word, it is a power, it is an entity. It has left me. It left me and it reached your ears. Now that power and entity, if it's for blessing, well and good, but if it's for cursing, God protect us. Words are important. They're of consequence and have repercussions. They attract power and authority in the heavenlies. When the speaker of the word is our own loving Father God, it then behoves us to listen carefully, respectfully, and reverentially. For as we read in Philippians, we are to work out our own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in us, enabling us both to will and to work for his good pleasure. And might I humbly suggest that regularly attending 90 minutes on Sunday and attentively listening to every syllable of my 10-minute sermonette might not be a sufficient commitment for the glorious eternal life challenge set for us. Relationships, especially with our God, need more than 90 minutes a week in order to blossom. For in the words of the hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. And certainly this is the case if we dare accept the invitation the Lord gives us in today's psalm. He dares us. He ups the ante and provokes us to encounter him. It is impossible to maintain a distant relationship. It is also impossible to have a vicarious or second-hand relationship with God. It must be face-to-face, deep calling to deep. God has only children, no grandchildren, no distant relatives. We are either his child or an outsider, an orphan. In today's psalm, the Holy Spirit challenges us. And I liked the older version because the new Revised Standard can be tame. For instance, it omits the word oh. It says taste, but the other version said oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. I dare you. The fruit of the pudding is in the eating. God today reinvites us to consciously open and yield our hearts to his embrace. We are invited to test, use our senses and see, taste it, experience it, explore it, and discover it. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him and he with me. Discover that the Lord is not merely okay, mediocre, tepid, bland, or lackluster, but that he is good, he is wholesome, he is nourishing, and he is also fearsome. See to today's psalm, he is a friend worth boasting about. He affects our sense of emotional well-being. Those who looked to him, what were they? They were radiant. Those who looked to him were radiant. He reduces stress levels, according to the psalm. For those who sought him, they were delivered from fears. No. They were delivered from all their fears. Shame delivered. Confusion delivered, and from all their troubles. He gives us great security from danger. For why? The angels of the Lord encamp protectively around those who revere and worship him. Our God is reliable. Happy and fortunate are those who trust and rely on the Lord, for he delivers them from all their troubles. I love absolutes. He takes care of his own when times are hard. There will be no want, and none of them shall lack any good thing. And neither does God ignore us. I sought, inquired of the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And the other line that relates to that idea is, this poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of, the great word, all his troubles. In the light of this word sketch of the heart of God towards us, it is little wonder that David turns and enthusiastically invites us, the humble, the poor, the beleaguered, the afflicted, to join him in praise. And the O is in this translation as well. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. And we will be doing that with the paraphrase of this hymn after the sermon. And there's a verse in it which I love, which starts, oh, magnify. And I expect there to be a swell. Or I will remember myself of being a sixth form teacher in a boarding school where they didn't sing, and I went down and encouraged them to sing. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Considering that the Holy Spirit inspired this psalm almost 3,000 years ago, the closing verse is prophetic. That's the closing verse of the psalm, not in your extract. And listen to it and think of Jesus and his salvation. The Lord redeems the lives of his servants, and none of those who take refuge and trust in him shall be condemned or held guilty. So what to say by way of conclusion? Think Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The Word of God, in the breath of the Holy Spirit, contains life, an eternal life of unsurpassable loving intimacy with God. So, make time to study the Word of God. Know and claim your divine inheritance. Do not let your ignorance of your divine inheritance condemn you to a pauper's existence. Last week, Ricky spoke to Thomas Cranmer's Godsmacking Collect in the 1549 Book of Common Prayer. And I'm going to finish with it. It is delicious. It's a pity you can't see the spelling. It is gorgeous. But you can Google it, I suppose. Blessed Lord, which has caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us that we may in such wise hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest them, that by patience and comfort of thy holy word we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life which thou hast given us in our Saviour, Jesus Christ.